Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is indicted for the third time.
And the counts are conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against right.
We'll have an analysis of the latest indictment. Eswatini civil society groups deliver a petition today over what they say is government failure to provide needed medicines for patients. Botswana's parliament defers debate on controversial LGBTQ bill. Senegal bans opposition leader Ousmane Sonko's party. ECOWAS defense chiefs begin a two-day meeting today, Wednesday, in Niger.
We can say that the current situation in Niamey, the capital of Niger, is calm. People go about their business.
And some of your messages in honor of English to Africa's 60th anniversary. This morning, a conversation with the first staff member to start working for the service in January 1963. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Federal prosecutors say Donald Trump, while he was president, engaged in criminal activity in a quest to stay in power after he lost the 2020 election. At the center of this, the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol, in which more than 1,000 other people also faced charges in separate cases. Details from VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Herman in Washington.
Former President Trump is being accused in an indictment of a conspiracy to defraud the United States, a conspiracy to threaten others' rights, and the obstruction of the congressional certification of the results of the 2020 election, which he lost. Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, shortly after Tuesday's indictment was unsealed, said the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol building was fueled by lies.
Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election.
The campaign of Trump, who is the Republican frontrunner in his party's race for next year's presidential nomination, reacting to the indictment, said in a statement, "He has always followed the law and the Constitution." Trump is scheduled to appear before a federal magistrate on Thursday. With this latest indictment, Trump is now a defendant in cases alleging crimes he committed before, during, and after his presidency. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump has been indicted for the third time, this time for his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. The Associated Press says the charges focus on schemes by Trump and his allies to subvert the peaceful transfer of power and keep him in office despite his loss to Joe Biden. Pearl Matibe is a Zimbabwe-born journalist and foreign policy analyst. She tells me she's not surprised by the indictment.
We were expecting that this was going to happen. We were just waiting for when. So I'm not surprised that he has. I'm also not surprised that he has faced several legal troubles but has still continued to survive them. Remember, he was impeached twice and survived, right? He was charged and sued and survived. So former President Donald Trump has been facing various trials, including the one in the New York court, and has continued to be surviving so far. And if you look at the Republican field on the campaign, he is the single candidate who is still raising a significant amount of money and leading all other Republican candidates by double to triple digits.
As you mentioned, Pearl, there have been other indictments of the former president. How do you think this latest indictment is different or would be different from those ones?
Well, we're hoping to hear more from the Department of Justice. So what we do know is that he has been indicted supposedly on four counts by a federal grand jury in the special counsel Jack Smith's investigation. And the counts are conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against right. So what we're just waiting for now are the details from the Department of Justice This has to do with the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, according to the court documents. Trump, his campaign, is releasing a statement following the indictment. This is the response from President Trump's campaign. They are accusing the Biden administration of election interference, saying that this coming election of 2024 and what's happening to him is interference. He's calling it interference. Their statement said, quote, "This is nothing more than the latest corrupt chapter in the continued pathetic attempt by the Biden crime family and their weaponized Department of Justice to interfere with the 2024 presidential election, in which President Trump is the undisputed frontrunner and leading by substantial margins." That is a direct quote from the President Trump's campaign statement.
Per, thank you so much for your insight.
You're welcome.
Per Matibe is a Zimbabwe-born journalist and foreign policy analyst. She was speaking with us from Washington, D.C. Defense chief from the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, meet for 2 days, beginning today, Wednesday, in Nigeria's capital to discuss the coup in Niger, according to Reuters. ECOWAS has rejected the coup and vowed to use all means necessary to return ousted President Mohamed Bazoum to power. Meanwhile, some European nations, including France, Italy, and Spain, say they will evacuate their nationals. VOA's French 2 Africa reporter Abdul Razak in Niamey tells me that the capital was calm on Tuesday.
We can say that the current situation in Niamey, the capital of Niger, is calm. People go about their business. But on the sides of the soldiers who overthrew the elect President Mohamed Bazoum, they multiply meetings with national life actors such as religious and traditional leaders, traders, civil society, and so on. The deposed President Mohamed Bazoum is still in their hands, as are most of dignitaries of the old regime.
There are reports of foreign nationals being evacuated. Have you seen any sign of an evacuation?
Yes, James, I confirm. Nationals of European countries began to be evacuated this Tuesday. As you know, it's the French authorities who have announced it. And many sources confirm me that they have observed the departure of a plane from Niamey in the early afternoon of this Tuesday, and plane who have on board French people in particular. Other sources indicated also that it was not only French people who left.
Meanwhile, Abdul, the ultimatum by ECOWAS is fast approaching. How is it being perceived in Niamey?
James, about the ECOWAS ultimatum, it is perceived by some as just a threat to scare the perpetrator of the coup d'etat, while others learn of it with concern, if ever the option of military intervention were to be taken at the outcome of the failure of mediation. Moreover, we learned that this Wednesday, an ECOWAS delegation led by former Nigerian President Abubakar Abdul Salami arrived in Niamey.
VOA's French to Africa reporter Abdul Razak was speaking with us from the Niger's capital, Niamey. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. A member of Senegal's opposition Patriots of Senegal for Work Ethics and Fraternity Party, also known as PASTEL, says the party will do everything in its power for Ousmane Sonko to run for the presidency in 2024. This after Senegalese authorities on Tuesday announced the dissolution of Sonko's party for allegedly mobilizing violent protest. Sonko was arrested again last Friday for fomenting alleged insurrection and undermining state security. Nafisa Dia is a member of Sonko's party. She tells me that the fate of Sonko and that of the party are inseparable because Sonko is the preferred candidate of most Senegalese.
Man Sonko, they have arrested him, detained him, and they have decided to ban our political party. The fate of President Ousmane Sonko is distinct from the fate of the party itself, because Ousmane Sonko, he is not just the candidate of PASTEF, he is the candidate of the majority of the Senegalese people. And those people are currently demonstrated, as you should have heard it, to ensure that their candidate, who is the favorite in this upcoming presidential election, is released and restored to his full right. And this is our plan right now, to have him released and restored to his full right. That's the only plan for now.
The authorities said that Sonko made statements that incited violence.
That's what they said. You know, they have declared so many things because all these problems have begun 2 years ago when they plotted against him and they had that lady accuse him of rape. Those allegations, they were ruled over by the judge. I think it was at the end of May early. But then they have not denounced their project of having him out of their way for the upcoming presidential elections. Because Ousmane Sonko, there is nothing legally that can prevent him from participating in the February 2024 presidential election.
I know you are demanding the release of Mr. Sonko, but looking ahead, I assume he is not released and the elections are coming. It is likely he's not going to take part in the election. What is your party going to do?
In a country where there is justice for all, we could have made realistic projections. But for now, what we believe is that President Ousmane Sonko's non-participation in the upcoming presidential election is not an option for us. Because we have chosen our candidate, we have invested him, and all that preventing him from being one of the aspiring presidents of the Republic of Senegal is the will of someone. It's not something legal. What we intend to do is that, well, we'll use all the legal means provided to fight and to have him be one of the candidates. And it's up to the people to choose their candidates and their president and the measure of people they chose him.
Nafisa Dia is a member of Ousmane Sonko's party. She was speaking with us from Moncton, Canada. In Eswatini, pro-democracy groups, churches and unions will today, Wednesday, deliver a petition to the country's Human Rights Commission concerning what they say is the government's failure to provide needed medicines for hospital patients. Becky Mamba is the president of the Trade Unions Congress of Eswatini. He says they are petitioning the Human Rights Commission because health is a human right.
We are presenting this petition to the Human Rights Commission here in the country. We are actually saying to the commission they must take serious steps for the government of Eswatini, because we want to say health is a human right and the people of Eswatini are entitled to receive treatment when they go to public facilities. And government is entrusted with that responsibility to make sure that all government facilities are functional and they are supplied in terms of drugs, equipment, and human resource. So the Human Rights Commission is entrusted with that responsibility to ensure that all structures and organizations and organs who are given that mandate to ensure that social services are supplied to society, they must do so. Now, we are actually saying the Human Rights Commission must take that responsibility to ensure that the government is supplying drugs and equipment to health facilities in the country.
How would you describe the health situation in Eswatini at this point? What is it like?
The situation is seriously very bad here in Eswatini in terms of the healthcare system, because you'll appreciate that when you go to a aid facility, you are not going to get drugs. To an extent that people who are injured, you'll find that they will not even get a bandage. Sometimes there's shortage of needles. Sometimes there's even shortage of gloves. So the situation is very, very bad. To an extent that, as of last week, we saw a demonstration of patients who pushed their beds outside the national government referral hospital in Mbabane to protest about the shortage of equipment and the shortage of drugs. To an extent that even the Minister of Health went and addressed them. This is how the situation is now in the country.
Becky Mamba is the president of the Trade Union Congress of Swaziland. He was speaking with us from the capital, Mbabane. Botswana's parliament on Tuesday abandoned debate on a bill that, if passed, would decriminalize same-sex relations. In 2019, Botswana's High Court, the Court of Appeal, ruled that laws criminalizing consensual same-sex relations were unconstitutional, but religious groups protested the attempt to amend the country's laws. From Haburuni, Botswana, Nkudise Dube reports.
Minister of Justice Maichana Shamukuni told Parliament Tuesday that public concerns over introduction of the bill have necessitated further consultation on the matter.
I therefore seek to satisfy myself that the views and concerns of all stakeholders pertaining to interpretation of the Constitution are considered, and that the provisions of the Revisions of Law Act have been thoroughly interrogated and made clear.
He says as a result, the bill will be removed from pending debate in Parliament, but could be brought back at a later stage. However, this is not expected during the current sitting of the National Assembly, which concludes at the end of August.
Mr. Speaker, it is on the basis of the above that I beg to defer the Penal Code Amendment Bill number 29 of 2022 to allow for intensive interrogation of the constitutional issues raised with my ministry regarding the bill.
A coalition of mostly Christian churches under the Evangelical Fellowship of Botswana, or EFB, recently staged protests over any attempt to decriminalize homosexuality in the Southern African nation. EFB Chairman Bulafela Siele led a recent march to the parliament building. He says the church wants a referendum on the matter.
EFB will continue monitoring, and the whole church at large, developments on the proposed bill, and shall deploy appropriate measures to preserve society against any antisocial behavior and practices.
The Botswana Network on Ethics, Law and HIV/AIDS, known as Bonela, was part of the 2019 court case in support of the LGBTQ community. Cindy Nkelemi is Bonela's executive director and says the matter should not be debated in Parliament.
We reiterate that this approach was not necessary. It was going to plunge our country into a constitutional crisis.
With the Court of Appeal reaffirming the lower court's ruling in 2021, Botswana became one of few African countries to legally allow same-sex relations. Several other countries, most prominently Uganda, have instead passed stiffer legislation against homosexuality. Mkondisi Dube for VOA News, Haburoni, Botswana.
This week, VOA English to Africa service is celebrating our 60th anniversary. My colleague Heidi Adams had the privilege of interviewing Marilyn Sylvie, the first staff member to start working for the service back in January of 1963. Here's part of their conversation.
I started on January 3rd, 1963, and one by one we assembled, and we're so excited about starting programming to Africa. It was historic for VOA to do something that was broadcasting mostly African news from one part of the continent to another. We'd never done this before any place. And it was all because Africa was vast, was becoming independent. By 1963, there were 28 independent countries. 17 of them became independent in 1960 alone. We called it the Year of Independence. And there were opportunities for the United States to get involved with Africa in ways that we certainly could not when the countries were controlled by England, France, and Portuguese. We wanted to be involved. Certainly there were economic reasons, but we wanted to be involved in principle to be helpful. And we thought at that point that we could do series, for example, on making democracy work. We knew how to run elections. We knew how to do these things, and we wanted to share it. In recent years, with the things that have happened here in the United States, our own democracy has certainly been shaken. And I think we can take lessons from the African countries on how to do things like run an election sometimes. But we were so hopeful then and so excited.
So tell me a little more about what were the, you know, sort of the initial challenges you faced around, you know, resources, not just, you know, technical resources, but also human resources in making this kind of programming work.
There were many human challenges to get both African radio people, experts, broadcasters involved with us, as well as Americans who knew something about radio. In the 1960s, United States radio was principally short news, not in-depth programming. And at the same time, our challenge was to find African broadcasters who were willing to come perhaps for a 2 or 4 year tour at Voice of America. Only Liberia at that point had radio stations, independent stations, and there were three there. And so we got broadcasters from there. I remember an early one was Yvonne Barkley. And soon we got broadcasters from Radio Nigeria in Lagos.
That was founding member of the VOA English to Africa team, Marilyn Sylvie. She was speaking with my colleague Heidi Adams. Please keep sending us your voice and text messages about our 60th anniversary to the WhatsApp number +1 202 258 3076. Once again, the number +1 202 258 3076. And that's it for this Wednesday, August 2nd edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for coming aboard with us this morning. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Botti in Washington, wishing that you will have a lovely day.